Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 115, and specifically, it's a story time episode featuring The Glass Dog by L. Frank Baum. If you are a new listener, then welcome to my little world of whispers. You can feel free to visit my website at sleepwhispers.com. If you're interested in rating the podcast, taking the podcast survey, or accessing old episodes, bonus episodes, videos, or photos. Alright, let me tell you a little bit about tonight's story, which is titled The Glass Dog. It's another short story by L. Frank Baum, who is the author of The Wizard of Oz. And before I usually watch a movie or read a book, I always like to have an overview or a preview of what it's all about. So, here's a summary of this story. It begins with a wizard who lives in the city, and he's tired of being disturbed by peddlers and vendors always knocking on his door. So he buys a glass dog from a glass blower, and his plan is to bring it to life to chase away those unwanted visitors. The wizard pays the glass blower for the glass dog by giving him a cure for his rheumatism. But then the glass blower takes that cure and he gives it to a woman in exchange for her hand in marriage. And of course, things don't go as expected. And the rest of the story will reveal how the plan works, and also how the whole plan doesn't work. All right, on to the story. The Glass Dog by L. Frank Baum. An accomplished wizard once lived on the top floor of a tenement house and passed his time in thoughtful study and studious thought. What he didn't know about wizardry was hardly worth knowing. for he possessed all the books and recipes of all the wizards who had lived before him. And moreover, he had invented several wizardments himself. This admirable person would have been completely happy, but for the numerous interruptions to his studies caused by folk who came to consult him about their troubles, in which he wasn't interested, and by the loud knocks of the Iceman, the Milkman, the Baker's Boy, the Laundryman, and the Peanut Woman. He never dealt with any of these people, but they rapped at his door every day to see him about this or that, and to try to sell him their wares. But when he was most deeply interested in his books, or engaged in watching the bubbling of a cauldron, there would come a knock at his door. And after sending the intruder away, he always found he had lost his train of thought, or ruined his compound. At length, these interruptions aroused his anger, and he decided he must have a dog to keep people away from his door. He didn't know where to find a dog. But in the next room lived a poor glassblower with whom he had a slight acquaintance. So he went into the man's apartment and he asked, "Where can I find a dog?" "What sort of dog?" inquired the glassblower. "A good dog. One that will bark at people and drive them away. One that will be no trouble to keep and won't expect to be fed. One that has no fleas and is neat in his habits. One that will obey me when I speak to him. In short, a good dog," said the wizard. "Such a dog is hard to find," returned the glassblower, who was busy making a blue glass flower pot with a pink glass rose bush in it, having green glass leaves and yellow glass roses. The wizard watched him thoughtfully. "Why can't you blow me a dog out of glass?" he asked presently. "I can," declared the glass blower, "but it wouldn't bark at people, you know." "Oh, I'll fix that easily enough," replied the wizard. "If I could not make a glass dog bark, I would be a mighty poor wizard." "Very well. If you can use a glass dog, I'll be pleased to make one for you. Only, you must pay me for my work." "Certainly," agreed the wizard. "But I have none of that horrid stuff you call money. You must take some of my wares in exchange." The glassblower considered the matter for a moment. "Could you give me something to cure my rheumatism?" he asked. "Oh yes, easily." "Then it's a deal. I'll start the dog at once, color of glass shall I use? Pink is a pretty color, said the wizard. And it's unusual for a dog, isn't it? Very, answered the glass blower. But it shall be pink. So the wizard went back into his studies, and the glass blower began to make the dog. The next morning, he entered the wizard's room with the glass dog under his arm and set it carefully on the table. It was a beautiful pink in color, with a fine coat of spun glass, and about its neck was a twisted blue glass ribbon. Its eyes were specks of black glass and sparkled intelligently, as do many of the glass eyes worn by men. The wizard expressed himself pleased with the glass blower's skill, and at once handed him a small vial. This will cure your rheumatism, he said. But the vial is empty, protested the glass blower. Oh no, there is one drop of liquid in it, was the wizard's reply. Will one drop cure my rheumatism? Inquired the glass blower in wonder. Most certainly, that is a marvelous remedy. The one drop contained in the vial will cure instantly any kind of disease ever known to humanity. Therefore, it's especially good for rheumatism. But guard it well, for it is the only drop of its kind in the world. And I've forgotten the recipe. Thank you, said the glass blower, and went back to his room. Then the wizard cast a wizzy spell and mumbled several very learned words in the wizardese language over the glass dog. Whereupon the little animal first wagged its tail from side to side, then winked his left eye knowingly, and at last began barking in a most frightful manner. That is, when you stop to consider the noise came from a pink glass dog. There is something almost astonishing in the magic arts of wizards. Unless, of course, you know how to do the things yourself when you're not expected to be surprised at them. The wizard was as delighted as a school teacher at the success of his spell, although he was not astonished. Immediately, he placed the dog outside his door, where it would bark at anyone who dared knock, and so disturb the studies of its master. The glass blower, on returning to his room, decided not to use the one drop of wizard cure-all just then. My rheumatism is better today, he reflected, and I will be wise to save the medicine for a time when I am very ill, when it will be of more service to me. So he placed the vial in his cupboard and went to work, making more roses out of glass. Presently, he happened to think the medicine might not keep, so so he started to ask the wizard about it. But when he reached the door, the glass dog barked so fiercely that he dared not knock, and he returned in great haste to his own room. Indeed, the poor man was quite upset at so unfriendly a reception from the dog he had himself so carefully and skillfully made. The next morning, as he read his newspaper, he noticed an article stating that the beautiful Miss Midas, the richest young lady in town, was very ill, and the doctors had given up hope of her recovery. The glass blower, although miserably poor, hard-working, and homely of feature, was a man of ideas. He suddenly recollected his precious medicine and determined to use it to better advantage than relieving his own ills. He dressed himself in his best clothes, brushed his hair and combed his whiskers, washed his hands and tied his necktie, blackened his shoes and sponged his vest, and then put the vial of magic cure-all in his pocket. Next, he locked his door, went downstairs, and walked through the streets to the grand mansion where the wealthy Miss Midas resided. The butler opened the door and said, "No soap. No chromos, no vegetables, no hair oil, no books, no baking powder. My young lady is dying, and we're well supplied for the funeral." The glass blower was grieved at being taken for a peddler. "My friend," he began proudly, but the butler interrupted him, saying, "No tombstones either. There's a family graveyard, and the monument's built." "The graveyard won't be needed, if you will permit me to speak," said the glass blower. "No doctors, sir. They've given up my young lady, and she's given up the doctors," continued the butler calmly. "I'm no doctor," returned the glass blower. "Nor are the others. But what is your errand?" "I call to cure your young lady by means of a magical compound." "Step in, please, and take a seat in the hall. I'll speak to the housekeeper," said the butler, more politely. So he spoke to the housekeeper, and the housekeeper mentioned the matter to the steward, and the steward consulted the chef, and the chef kissed the lady's maid and sent her to see the stranger. Thus are the very wealthy hedged around with ceremony, even with the dying. When the lady's maid heard from the glass blower that he had a medicine which would cure her mistress, she said, "I'm glad you came. But," said he, "if I restore your mistress to health, she must marry me. I'll make inquiries and see if she's willing," answered the maid, and went at once to consult Miss Midas. The young lady did not hesitate an instant. "I'd marry any old thing rather than die," she cried. bring him here at once. So the glass blower came, poured the magic drop into a little water, gave it to the patient, and the next minute, Miss Midas was as well as she'd ever been in her life. "Dear me," she exclaimed. "I've an engagement at the Fritters reception tonight. Bring my pearl-colored silk, Marie, and I will begin my toilet at once. And don't forget to cancel the order for the funeral flowers and your morning gown." "But, Miss Midas," remonstrated the glassblower who stood by, "you promised to marry me if I cured you." "I know," said the young lady, "but we must have time to make proper announcement in the society papers and have the wedding cards engraved. Call tomorrow and we'll talk it over." The glassblower had not impressed her favorably as a husband, and she was glad to find an excuse for getting rid of him for a time. And she didn't want to miss the Fritters reception. Yet, the man went home filled with joy, for he thought his strategy had succeeded, and he was about to marry a rich wife who would keep him in luxury forever afterward. The first thing he did on reaching his room was to smash his glass-blowing tools and throw them out the window. He then sat down to figure out ways of spending his wife's money. The following day, he called on Miss Midas, who was reading a novel and eating chocolate creams as happily as if she'd never been ill in all her life. "Where did you get the magic compound that cured me?" she asked. "From a learned wizard," he said. And then, thinking it would interest her, he told how he'd made the glass dog for the wizard, and how it barked and kept everybody from bothering him. "How delightful," she said. "I've always wanted a glass dog that could bark. But there is only one in the world," he answered. "And it belongs to the wizard. You must buy it for me," said the lady. "The wizard cares nothing for money," replied the glassblower. "Then you must steal it for me," she retorted. "I can never live happily another day unless I have a glass dog that can bark." The glassblower was much distressed at this, but said he would see what he could do, for a man should always try to please his wife, and Miss Midas has promised to marry him within a week. On his way home, he purchased a heavy sack, and when he passed the wizard's door and the pink glass dog ran out to bark at him, he threw the sack over the dog, tied the opening with a piece of twine, and carried him away to his own room. The next day, he sent the sack by a messenger boy to Miss Midas with his compliments, and later in the afternoon, he called on her in person, feeling quite sure he would be received with gratitude for stealing the dog she so greatly desired. But when he came to the door and the butler opened it, what was his amazement to see the glass dog rush out and begin barking at him furiously. "Call off your dog," he shouted in terror. "I can't, sir," answered the butler. "My young lady has ordered the glass dog to bark whenever you call here. You'd better look out, sir," he added, "for if it bites you, you may have glassophobia." This so frightened the poor glassblower that he went away hurriedly. But he stopped at a drugstore and put his last dime in the telephone box so he could talk to Miss Midas without being bitten by the dog. "Give me Belf 6742, he called. "Hello, what is it?" said a voice. "I want to speak with Miss Midas," said the glassblower. Presently, a sweet voice said, "This is Miss Midas. What is it?" "Why have you treated me so cruelly and set the glass dog on me?" asked the poor fellow. "Well, to tell the truth," said the lady, "I don't like your looks. Your cheeks are pale and baggy. Your hair is coarse and long. Your eyes are small and red. Your hands are big and rough, and you are bow-legged. But I can't help my looks," pleaded the glassblower. "And you really promised to marry me. If you were better looking, I'd keep my promise," she returned. "But under the circumstances, you are no fit mate for me. And unless you keep away from my mansion, I shall set my glass dog on you." Then she dropped the phone and would have nothing more to say. The miserable glassblower went home with a heart bursting with disappointment. At home, someone knocked on his door, and upon opening it, he saw the wizard. "I've lost my dog," he announced. "Have you?" "Indeed," replied the glassblower. "Yes, someone has stolen him." "That's too bad," declared the glassblower indifferently. "You must make me another," said the wizard. "But I can't. I've thrown away all my tools." "Then what shall I do?" asked the wizard. "I don't know. Maybe offer a reward for the dog." "But I have no money," said the wizard. "Offer some of your compounds then," suggested the glassblower. "The only thing I can spare," replied the wizard thoughtfully, "is a beauty powder." "What?" cried the glassblower. "Have you really such a thing?" "Yes, indeed. Whoever takes the powder will become the most beautiful person in the world. If you will offer that as a reward, said the glassblower eagerly, I'll try to find the dog for you, for above everything else, I long to be beautiful. But I warn you, the beauty will only be skin deep, said the wizard. That's all right, replied the happy glassblower. When I lose my skin, I shan't care to remain beautiful. Then tell me where to find my dog, and you shall have the powder, promised the wizard. So the glassblower went out and pretended to search, and by, he returned and said, I've discovered the dog. You will find him in the mansion of Miss Midas. The wizard went at once to see if this were true, and sure enough, the glass dog ran out and began barking at him. Then the wizard spread out his hands and chanted a magic spell, which sent the dog fast asleep. When he picked him up and carried him to his own room on the top floor of the tenement house. Afterward, he carried the beauty powder to the glassblower as a reward, and the fellow immediately swallowed it and became the most beautiful man in the world. The next time he called upon Miss Midas, there was no dog to bark at him, and when the young lady saw him, she fell in love with his beauty at once. If only you were a count or a prince, she sighed, I'd willingly marry you. But I am a prince, he answered. The Prince of Glassblowers. Ah, said she, and if you are willing to accept an allowance of $4 a week, I'll order the wedding cards engraved. The man hesitated, but he consented to the terms. So they were married. And the bride was very jealous of her husband's beauty and led him a dog's life. So he managed to get into debt and made her miserable in turn. This is the end of the glass dog. By Elfring Baum. I hope you are deeply relaxed. Or even better, deeply asleep. Good night. Sleep.